The Mystery of Mrs. Christie, written by Marie Benedict and read by Nicola Barber.
I could not have written a more perfect man.
Lose your dance card,
a voice whispered to me as I passed through the crowd and onto the dance floor. Who would dare say such a thing? Particularly since I was on the arm of Thomas Clifford, distant relation of my hosts, Lord and Lady Clifford of Chudley, and quite the focus of the unattached ladies at the Uggbrook House ball. Impertinent, I thought to myself, even rude. I imagined the scene if my dance partner had overheard him. Even worse, imagine if my dance partner was the one. Our fate, as my friends and I liked to describe prospective husbands, and had been distracted from his attentions. Still, a frisson passed through me, and I wondered who would hazard such impudence. I turned in the direction of the voice, but strains of Elgar's Symphony No. 1 began to play, and my partner pulled me out to dance. As we waltzed, I tried to identify the man from among the throngs lining the vast ballroom floor. Mummy would chastise me for not focusing my attentions upon the young Mr. Clifford. But from rumours, I knew that the eligible, well-connected gentleman needed to marry an heiress and could have no legitimate interest in me anyway. I was nearly penniless, with only the inheritance of Ashfield Villa to offer, an estate many would consider a curse rather than a blessing, particularly since I had no funds to support it and the villa was in constant need of repair. A lost opportunity, Mr. Clifford was not. But I had no doubt that opportunity would indeed present itself. Wasn't that the destiny of all us girls? To be swept away by a man and then swept into the tidal pull of our fate? Dozens of men in evening dress stood in the corner of the gilded ballroom, but none seemed a likely candidate for such a brash invitation. Until I saw him. A fair, wavy-haired man stood on the fringes of the dance floor. His eyes on me. Never once did I see him engage in conversation with any of the other gentlemen. Nor did I see him attempt to escort any of the ladies onto the floor. His only movement occurred when he walked over to the orchestra and spoke to the conductor, after which he returned to his spot in the corner. The last chords of the orchestra sounded, and Mr. Clifford returned me to my post next to my dear friend Nan Watts, who was breathless from a quick turn around the floor with a red-faced acquaintance of her parents. As the orchestra began the next song and a florid young gentleman swooped in to fetch Nan, I glanced at the dance booklet dangling from my wrist by a red silk cord to see with whom I was paired. A hand appeared on my wrist. I looked up into the intense blue eyes of the man who had been staring at me. Instinctively, I pulled my hand away, but somehow, he slipped my dance card off my wrist and entwined his fingers in mine.
Forget your dance card for just one song,
he said in a low, gravelly voice that I recognized as belonging to the brazen young man from a few minutes ago. I couldn't believe what he was asking, and I was shocked he'd taken my card. Allowing another man to cut into your dance card lineup simply wasn't done, even when that dance card had gone missing. I thought I heard the distinctive chords of a famous tune by Irving Berlin. It sounded like Alexander's Ragtime Band. But I knew I must be wrong. Lord and Lady Clifford would never have requested this modern song from their orchestra. In fact, I guessed that they'd be irate at this deviation from standard protocol. Classical, symphonic pieces, paired with sedate dances, certain not to inflame the passions of the young, were the order of the day.